Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. A golden key of promise. Number one, sovereignty. Number two, sympathy. And number three, security. Joseph Parker was tall and handsome and imposing, with a very charismatic personality. He was gifted and talented. He was a wordsmith. Not only so, he was a poet, a songwriter, and a preacher who could move the masses. The problem was, he had fallen in love. The law of attraction. The law of distraction. So he couldn't think of anything or anyone other than this woman, Anne. Then the law of connection. Then the law of devotion. He was head over heels in love with Anne Nesbitt. He proposed to her, nervously. She agreed, enthusiastically. Their marriage was wonderful for 12 long years. Although it wasn't long, it seemed to go like that. She died. He was heartbroken and crestfallen, and spent some time mourning her loss. So in love was he with her, in a church he put a stained glass window with a picture of her, in loving memory of Anne Nesbitt. He thought he would never fall in love again, but he was wrong. He met another lady called Emma Jane Common. He fell in love with her, married her, lived with her, utterly devoted. Her life was taken away also. In grief and in faith, in despair, but with devotion, these words were penned. God holds the key of all unknown, and I am glad. If other hands should hold the key, or if he trusted it to me, I might be sad. Yes, I might be sad. What if tomorrow's cares were here without its rest? I'd rather he unlock the day, and as the hours swing open, say, my will is best, my will is best. The very dimness of my sight makes me secure, for groping in my misty way, I feel his hand, I hear him say, my help is sure, my help is sure. I cannot read his future plans, but this I know. I have the smiling of his face and all the refuge of his grace while here below. Enough. This covers all my wants, and so I rest. For what I cannot, he can see. And in his care, I saved shall be forever blessed. Forever blessed. I've had several outlines for this verse which I wanted to bring to you at the beginning of a year. Any one of them would have done. The Lord has pressed these words upon my heart. I remind you that the Puritan Thomas Watson wrote a whole book on this verse. Chapter 1 began like this. It's called The Divine Cordial. The very best things in life are working for our good. Chapter 2. The very worst things in our life are working for our good. The Divine Cordial was the medicine which every true believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, every man or woman who loves God, who are part of the called according to his purpose, can take. This divine cordial It's first of all a divine cordial that speaks to us of sovereignty. And we know, for those who love God, all things work together for good. Did you notice? We know. This is not a hope so. This is not a think it might be. This is not, well, it might work all out in the end. I don't know quite right now. It's not a perhaps. It's a no. We know. Believers know. We don't know what's going on in the immediate, in our immediate circumstances. Very often that's chaotic because life is fired at us at point blank range and we don't get a chance to adjust. We don't get a chance to think. We don't know what's round the corner. We don't. You don't know whether you go to the doctors and you're told that this lump is something you've really got to worry about because now you're on death row with 6 months to live. You don't know if you're going to cross a road and the person you're with, a car hits and their life is taken from them. You don't know right now whether around the corner your wife or your husband is going to run off with somebody else. You don't know whether you're going to lose your job. In the immediate, there are things we just do not know. But every true believer who loves God, who is part of the called according to his purpose, knows that ultimately, not immediately, but ultimately, God, in his sovereignty, works all things together for good. For those who are the called according to his purpose. I remind you that Romans 8 is probably, well, one of the most magnificent chapters you will ever read. In fact, I remember doing a series of sermons on this particular chapter and calling it the crown jewels of heaven. The jewel of mercy, the jewel of liberty, the jewel of energy, the jewel of intimacy, the jewel of security, the jewel of victory, the jewel of glory. God is at work. The sovereign Lord of the universe, who is on the throne of the universe, remembers his own. That's what this verse teaches. He is for his own. If God be for us, who can be against us? In fact, God is actively, knowingly, energetically, enthusiastically at work. This sovereign Lord of the universe, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, without boundary, without limitation, without measurement, who fills the heavens and the earth, the one who is omniscient, whose science and knowledge is of all things, from eternity to eternity, because not only is he infinite, he is eternally infinite. And he knows all things, and he sees all things, and he understands all things. And he is not the author of sin or confusion, but he is able to work all things together for the good of his people. For those who love him, for those who are the called according to his purpose. I remind you again, if you are a true believer, you are the apple of God's eye, the treasure of God's heart, the object of God's love, the subject of God's grace from all eternity to all eternity. You are not an accident in the backwash. Your life is mapped out. He has a purpose for your life, and you're called according to his purpose. And in the mysteries, and there are mysteries of his providence, those things which we just cannot, just do not, and just right now will not ever understand. Because the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. This sovereign King of the universe, who rules in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, is on the throne, and he remembers his own. There are one or two people here who remember Steve Cole, just one or two. Steve Cole was a tall man with white hair, And Jeff, you'll remember him, he always seemed to be smiling. As a young Christian, I can never forget this because we went to a rather very strict church. Nobody said amen in the middle of the sermon except Steve Cole. No one repeated a chorus except Steve Cole. He didn't put his hands up, but tell you what, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He would break out into song. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. He will remember his own. Despite the problems, despite the difficulties, despite the heartaches, despite the setbacks, despite our failures, he remembers his own. He does not desert his people. You know, there's a wonderful Greek word. It's the word synergio. It's the word from which we get synergy. It's that word which is used there, work together, working together. Somehow, some way, God sows by his own sovereignty into the tapestry of our lives all the dark, the purple, the blue, the green, the brown, the black, as well as the yellow and the silver and the red and the orange strands. Though it looks a mess when we turn it round, it looks a beautiful and perfect design. Our God is on the throne of the universe, whether we feel it, whether we believe it at times or not. And when we are in the deepest pit of our life, and when we are challenged by life's point-blank bullets fired at us, when we do not know the immediate and can't make sense of it, we can be assured and know that he's working all things in synergy for our good, for his glory. And because of that, it means that this verse speaks to us of sympathy. I don't mean feeling sorry. I mean of tenderness. I mean of understanding. I mean of real walking beside us. I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ was given the title Man of Sorrows, Acquainted with Grief. I remind you of these words in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 if you've got a Bible. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you remember what David wrote in Psalm 34? God is near to the broken in heart and to the crushed in spirit. This is the wonder of Almighty God. Infinite and transcendent. The otherness, beyond comprehension, and yet imminent, near. In him we live and move and have our being. He is near to the broken in heart, near to the crushed in spirit. And he caringly, lovingly, tenderly works all things together for the good of his people. I've known many a Christian who, walking in the vale and valley of tears, has not known just what to think or what to say or what to pray. In fact, there is a numbness, almost a deadness. And then coming with grief comes anger and questions. And coming with it comes depression. It comes, it's process. Who nevertheless, looking back on their lives, if they're the called of God and lovers of God, they know ultimately that event. Somehow, some way, mysteriously, sovereignly, was God's tender working with his people in that very situation. I want to give you a little, very simple illustration. Some of us who are old play walking football. Walking football. On Friday, three or four of the friends from Bridge Chapel, who were a bit older, came along. One of them was Dr. Andrew Taylor. He's a cyclist, isn't he? He cycles everywhere. You may or may not know, he's also been struck down with a disease at the moment and really struggling. He comes along. He hasn't played football for I don't know how long. And he says, I want to come and play football. And for the first 10 minutes, he's playing really, really well. Then when he changes the pitch, without anyone around him, he falls to the floor. Stops playing football. He goes to the hospital. He thinks he's ruptured his Achilles. It comes in a cast. And I'm feeling terrible. Even though I didn't invite him. It was Alan Gallagher who invited him. And I'm feeling terrible. Oh, dear. I'm so sorry, Andy. I'm really, really, really. And, you know, I'm one of these people. I'm like thinking about it. Pray, oh, Lord, help him. He's in the hospital all day. I'm thinking, what's Anwen going to say? I've had it. And then I get to preach here this morning. And at the second service, everyone's sitting there. And Andy and Anwen are sitting there on their own. And he's got his leg like this. And Anwen, it seems to me, is glaring at me. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? So I go up straight after the service and I say, Andy, I'm really, really, really sorry. Honestly, I am. I've been thinking about you all weekend. Anwen says, well, don't. It was a divine providence. It was God working all things together for good. What do you mean? He was about to go out on a 10 or 15 mile bicycle ride. The hospital have said it's nothing really to do with football. It's to do with the disease that he has, and both Achilles could have been infected. She said God was working all things together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. In the small details. In the large events, days when your eyes flood with tears, days when your heart pounds with fear, days when you sigh, days when you want to die, those days are in his hands as synergy, as sympathy comes. God tenderly knows what he's at, what he's doing, what you need, what I need, though the devil unleashes all hell against us. He is not the author of sin. But nevertheless, he can take the broken things of life and sow them into our life tenderly, sympathetically, for his glory and for our good. Even days of coldness and sin, days when you walk out on him, all working for our good by our sovereign King of love, our days are in his hands. He caringly works all things together for the good of his people. Which leads to number three. This wonderful verse is about security. It's about knowing that there really is purpose in our pain. There really is a God who knows where he's at, who knows what he's doing, who can be trusted in every situation we're in, who when we're in the deepest pit, he is deeper still. Who when everything in life is absolutely chaotic, he is calmly, sovereignly working for our good and for his glory. There is this great strength, this great security. And even though you battle with doubt, and some of you do, some of us do, and even though we wrestle with God, and some of us do, and even though we butt the wall, and some of us do, and even though we argue with God, and some of us do, we know that ultimately, when we get from these shadow lands and into the glory land, we will look back and say, wow, that was why. Wow, I didn't see that. Wow, I didn't see it coming, but God did. And he has worked all things together for good, for those who are the called according to his purpose. I love the poetry of Annie Johnson Flint. You should read it. She was the one who wrote the hymn, "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials is multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. But out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." And listen to this one. And anybody here who's ever visited a factory, or anybody here who's ever worked in a factory, or anyone here who's ever messed with a bike or a car, you get this. In a factory building, there are wheels and gearings. There are cranks and pulleys, belting tight or slack. Some are whirling swiftly. Some are turning slowly. Some are thrusting forward. Some are pulling back. Some are smooth and silent. Some are rough and noisy, pounding, rattling, clanking, moving with a jerk. In a wild confusion, in a seeming chaos, lifting, pushing, driving. But they do their work. From the mightiest lever to the tiniest pinion, all things work together for the purpose planned. And behind the working is a mind controlling and a force directing and a guiding hand. So all things are working for the Lord's beloved. Some things might be hurtful if alone they stood. Some might seem to hinder. Some might draw us backwards. But they work together and they work for good. All the thwarted longings, all the stern denials, all the contradictions hard to understand, and the force that holds them, speeds them and controls them, stops and starts and guides them, is our Father's hand. Whatever chaos is going on in the immediate, remember in the ultimate, none can pluck us from his hand. Let's stand and sing.